Green Scene on The Pat Kenny Show. Sponsored by the ESB and IIEA Rethink Energy Lecture Series. Hear from the world's leading figures on climate and energy policy. IIEA.com.
Now, the past decade was the hottest on record, and 2020, the year just gone, matched 2016 as the hottest 2 years ever recorded. Now, what can we expect from this year's COP26 conference in Scotland? Will it make any difference to all of that? What is to stop the planet from surging towards a climate catastrophe? Well, joining us for the Green Scene is Professor Brian O'Gallagher from MARAI, the SFI Research Centre for Energy, Climate and the Marine. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, those stats about the hottest year on record being 2016 tying with 2020, we could probably look back on our own year and say, yeah, it was pretty warm, but that's only a tiny part of the story.
Exactly. And we also have a delayed effect because, ironically, in 2020, because of the pandemic, greenhouse gas emissions were lower in 2020 than they were in 2019. We don't have the full stats on that yet, but the estimates are about 5% globally. In an Irish context, it might be 3-4% because agriculture is a high share of our emissions and that was impacted less. But what we're seeing is the impact of emissions from the past, if you like, because, as I say, there's a delayed effect. So the fact that we have the warmest decade on record, and in Europe, we have 2020 was the warmest year on record. So globally, as you say, it matched 2016. In Europe, it was the warmest on record. And the highest deviation in temperature or growth was in the Arctic and northern Siberia. And there they had six degrees above the average in 1981 to 2010. So very stark warnings. And as you say, the year ahead allows us to move from kind of political statements on climate change that are positive to action. And by the end of the year, we'll see what that action actually tells us, because we'll have this meeting in Glasgow. But we really, one of the things to bear in mind is that the global temperature at the moment is about 1.25 degrees above pre-industrial levels. And the agreement that was made politically in Paris in 2015 at a previous COP meeting was that we'd limit global warming and we would strive to limit it to stay within a limit of 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels. So we've very little headroom altogether.
And the consequences, of course, if we go above that, you reach tipping points in so many areas. Now, just to be devil's advocate for a moment, people will say, yeah, all this global warming, how come Spain got dumped on with the biggest snowfall they've recorded in decades?
Great question. And what you have is, I suppose, the difference between weather and climate. So the climate is kind of tracks long-term changes, if you like, whereas weather patterns can change within, you know, year on year, month on month, week on week. And what we do see, one of the consequences of climate change is increased global warming. Another impact is increased incidence of extreme weather events. So the question with Spain would be, well, let's see how have the weather events in Spain, the extreme weather events, tracking them over the last number of years. And what you'll find is typically what we've seen, the evidence shows that we've a significant increase in extreme weather events. So flooding events, snow events, drought events as well, we've seen as well in terms of leading to fires in various places. So the extreme weather events are something that happens alongside increased global warming. But some of those extreme weather events can be, as you say, extreme cold weather events, essentially.
Now, what to do? Because we have already spoken in this slot about the targets being set by the Irish government and fairly ambitious things that need to be done. And I'm wondering, in terms of the calculation of greenhouse gas emissions, you know, you go green, so you buy an electric car. And then it turns out that a whole pile of rare earth metals have to be used in the screens in the car and other bits and pieces. do they do the calculation when they're figuring out how green something actually is or how green a country is? You know, Norway hugely going electric in its motor vehicle fleet. Do they say, hang on a second, guys, the amount of energy employed in digging this stuff out of the ground has got to be factored into your energy equation?
Great question. The way the stats are gathered is based on production in different countries. So where the emissions are actually released. So essentially, if we import things that have emissions embodied in them, if you like, they don't count towards our emissions. They count towards the emissions in the country where they're generated.
And this can happen in problem with our beef, for example.
Exactly.
We in reverse, generate the gases here in our beef production, but the beef is consumed somewhere else.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's easier to track emissions on the production basis than it would be on the consumption basis. But there are methods that are used to also track emissions on the consumption basis. Ireland doesn't fare much better. You know, we get away with like the agriculture emissions in that context would be exported. But we import a lot of final products. So there's a balancing that happens there. And they do take these things into account when the negotiations happen globally around targets.
Well, we shall watch what unfolds in Glasgow at COP26. Brian, thank you very much for joining us. Professor Brian O'Gallagher, Director of MARAI, the SFI Research Centre for Energy, Climate and the Marine.